they've been working on the proposed substitute for House Bill 460 as the legislative Senator Gilman is there, and we do have a quorum. Mr. Jenkins, do you want to come forward and comment on this, please? Certainly, we run through the bathroom today.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Jerry Jenkins, I'm director of the audit committee. And we reviewed the draft, and I have basically just one comment regarding what we got on page four. A new section 9 and 10. And this language is, as I mentioned earlier in the discussion, is language I had originally generated a couple of months ago to modify the Salmon Enhancement Act. And part of the added language starting on line 9 is the phrase removed from the state or and then transferred to a buyer of the state. And that same phrase removed from the state is also on line 17 of page 4. And when I originally drafted that concept, that was to deal with a situation where the fishermen in the region that have the town of Hampshire back decided he's going to haul his fish, like from Southeast, haul them down to D.C. to settle them all the way to Seattle, then he would still be liable for the tax. That basically is a cost concept, the idea of the tax being levied based on where the fish are caught. The committee's intention to leave the tax solely on the basis of where the fish are sold, i.e. the region it was sold in, then probably may want to consider removing that. Also on the next page, the new proposed section 14 was the language that I had drafted, which would establish the liability in the case that, again, the salmon were taken out by the fishermen to some other region, or taken out of the region where they were caught, either to Canada, to Seattle, to a freezer ship, offshore, whatever, any way to beat the tax, that this would still say they were liable for the tax.
Well, I think, and correct me if we're wrong, we're trying to stop any loophole of anybody doing that.
I want to make sure that you understood exactly that's what that was doing.
But that would apply to a tender as well as a fisherman?
If the tender bought the fish in a region where the tax was levied, the tender would have to collect the tax. That's what the phrase transfer to a buyer will do. Will force that tender to collect the tax. There's no question about that. It's a situation where the fisherman himself takes the fish out of the region and then sells it to somebody else. That the first phrase removed from the state would force the fisherman to report the tax that was due on the fish and pay it to us. That phrase as supported also by the new section 14 of the bill.
Thank you.
All right, could I ask a couple questions?
Mm-hmm.
I want to see if I have in my own mind the enforcement process, not necessarily enforcement process, but the procedure that's in here on the custom processing that we talked about before.
Uh-huh.
And that, as I understand it now, it's taken care of in section 2 under 4375.015c, where it is determined on line 26, changing a person may be deaf, then may not be deaf. That's one part of it.
Right.
And then on the other page, on page 2, line 16, section 4, 4375-100A-3, and fiscal resource processed by 50 business inside the state.
Right.
That's it?
Right. Correct.
So, in your mind, that solves the problem in midstream. It solves a problem in midstream.
That is correct.
And if there is a problem in midstream, the problem is that there may not be a tax collected on process through the custom process fish that might be sold and used and
The way this has been rewritten since our earlier discussion, the way this is now drafted, it should catch, I think, even on sales in Alaska, because we modified, this language is a modification of what we earlier been talking about. So this says that if a person acquires fish that has not been taxed, i.e. has been kept in process, thus has been given the tax, and has the fishery resource processed by a fishery business inside the state, in other words, that's the custom processing, then that person will be liable for the tax. And that's regardless of where they're sold. So I think this will, in fact, even check that exemption.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I did have one other comment, and this is a very minor one. On page 5 of the draft, under the definition of buyer, basically reads on line 26, unless contract requires otherwise, buyer means a person, and then an interest for them other than a bailee who acquires possession. This, technically, you know, if this is an oddity, it's not going to happen very often, but if a bailee does, in fact, acquire the salmon, the question comes to my mind is, why couldn't we go ahead and collect it back from the fisherman? Fisherman is the one that's actually obligated for it. And maybe I don't understand the reason for why that's been there. This is apparently a last minute addition to our
draft. This is drafting language that when we first got this draft, that kind of fits all in there. We didn't know whether you're talking about the bailer of the skiff or who we were talking about. We had to get them. We didn't go to the dictionary, we went to the drafter, and he quite candidly reworded the language that we had sent up and that come to your office, John, into this. Now, if there's any problem with that, I would be welcome to. The definition I had run back to me this morning is a bailee, a party whom the property is delivered under the contract of bailment. Bailment is delivering a good by one party to another to be held in trust for a specific purpose. That was my first understanding.
That solves the problem?
Well, I don't know. I'm open to comment. This is drafting language is what I think.
Again, I'm not that conversant with exactly how terms are normally used. I believe the state will be acting in probably for a court because somebody owes some money that hadn't been paid, and so they're going to take possession of this. It's more likely to belong to somebody else. The only question that comes up is in this context of whether they shouldn't go ahead though and collect the tax from fishermen just like a normal buyer. Again, this is not going to happen very often. It's going to be a very unique situation.
Well, quite frankly, I understood your language and the language from Representative Gardner. I think I don't have that time, but they both made sense to me. This one here, I thought maybe this was legal terms saying the same thing. Do you have concern with that language?
Well, I do have some, yes, sir. Obviously, you get into situations it's going to be a minor loophole in the thing. If they really haven't taken possession of it, there'd be no tax liability, technically. Where I think the intent is that the fishermen still pay the tax if the possession is taken in a region that is ready to tax.
Pick that out of the draft before we can go forward with it. Any other questions? Thank you. Then anybody has anything else to add to this today before we move to the August? You satisfied with it, John?
Yeah, sure, I am. And that definition of fire that is very traditional. One of the things that I write the daily language.
The first time that we saw it was when we got a copy of the rough draft this morning, and like I said, I didn't know what he was talking about. What part of the fleet or crew he was talking about?
I think it's a thing that we may change something like
we may go back to the original.
Okay.
With that,
I would have no objection to that.
they move, we recommend to the report, the full report to the council.
Perfect.